Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the executive editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Stacy Rosen, co-author of the Amber Waves article, Obesity in the Midst of Unyielding Food Insecurity in Developing Countries. Stacy, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
Stacy, the title of your article indicates that there is obesity in countries where people don't have enough food. That sounds counterintuitive. How can that be?
Before I answer your question, I should first define the terms obesity and food insecurity. For adults, overweight and obesity ranges are determined by using weight and height to calculate a body mass index, or BMI. BMI is used because for most people it correlates with their amount of body fat. An adult whose BMI is between 25 and 29.9 is considered overweight, and an adult whose BMI is 30 or greater is considered obese. As for food insecurity, in the context of ERS's annual food security assessment, it's defined as consumption below the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's recommended level of 2,100 calories per person per day.
So how can obesity exist in the midst of persistent food insecurity?
The answer lies mainly in differences in income levels, both among and within countries, which then translates into ability to purchase food. There's a broad range of per capita incomes among the approximately 150 developing countries, from a low of $124 per year in Ethiopia to a high of $24,000 a year in Singapore. But within countries, too, incomes vary greatly. In Guatemala, for example, the poorest 20% of the population holds less than 3% of the country's total income. In contrast, the wealthiest 20% of the population accounts for 66% of the country's total income.
What do these income disparities mean for food consumption?
These disparities in income shares translate into really big differences in purchasing power within a country. In other words, the richer people are eating more than the poorer people. Using Guatemala again as an example, ERS estimated that in 2007, the lowest income group consumed only 75% of the recommended level of 2,100 calories, while the highest income group exceeded that recommended level by 30%. And also, I want to note that the diets of the people in these upper income groups have changed as they moved away from some traditional foods like root crops and vegetables to some higher calorie foods.
What factors have contributed to the rise in obesity?
First and foremost, average per capita food consumption in developing countries has increased 28% between 1970 and 2005. This was three times the rate experienced in developed countries. Now, there have been several factors behind these higher consumption levels, including income growth, declining food prices, and urbanization. I've talked about income disparity, but income growth is perhaps the greatest force behind obesity, as developing countries' per capita income almost tripled between 1970 and 2005. Declining food prices have also been a factor. The recent well-publicized rise in food prices was in fact preceded by several decades of declining prices when you adjust for inflation. For example, prices of rice and soybean oil in 2000 were less than 40% of their 1970 levels. The beef prices in 2000 were about half of the 1970 levels. So while food prices in general have increased significantly since 2004, they remain below their 1970 levels, again, when you adjust for inflation. And the last factor is urbanization, which has also contributed to the dietary changes. During the last three decades, urbanization in developing countries has increased at 2 to 3 times the rate of population growth. So this urban lifestyle means less physical activity and higher demand for convenience foods. Diet composition data across countries shows that in countries where income levels are the same, those with the higher share of urban population have diets that are higher in fat.
Besides the increase in consumption in general, have there been any notable changes in diet composition?
As I mentioned before, per capita calorie consumption in developing countries has increased quite rapidly since 1970. Intake exceeded 2,700 calories per day in 2005, far exceeding that recommended level I spoke of earlier of 2,100 calories. But while this number sounds high, you need to remember that it's an average, and because of those income disparities and differences in purchasing power that I mentioned before, there are some people consuming below 2,000 calories and some people consuming above 3,000 calories per day. Grains account for more than half of the diet in developing countries, but most of the growth has been in higher calorie foods. So what are these foods? Per capita calorie consumption of meat, eggs, and vegetable oils tripled, while sugar increased 66% since 1970. But I want to point out that despite this growth, consumption of many of these items remains well below that of developed countries. Meat, for example, still accounted for only 7% of the diet in developing countries in 2005, compared with 12% for developed countries.
In developed countries, overweight populations are most prevalent among lower income segments of the population. Is this also true in developing countries?
No, it's definitely not the case for developing countries. The growing trend of overweight population is most prevalent among the higher income groups. ERS estimated that in 2007, consumption by those people in the upper 20% income groups in the low-income Asian, Latin American and Caribbean, and North African countries equaled roughly 2,800 calories per person per day. And this level's in the upper range of the requirement for a moderately active adult. In fact, consumption for the highest income group in North Africa was estimated at nearly 3,300 calories per day. This is comparable to the consumption in most developed countries. So while nearly 1 billion people were estimated to be food insecure in the 70 countries ERS analyzes in our annual food security assessment, an estimated 370 million, or 12% of the population of those countries, consumed at least 2,800 calories per day in 2007.
So what does this new trend mean?
Well, people are well aware of the fact that in developing countries are dealing with issues of curbing food insecurity and hunger and associated diseases. More recently, however, obesity-related diseases such as diabetes and hypertension have become more widespread. If current trends continue, the associated health costs for these often weak developing economies could be substantial. Nutrition education is probably the key measure these countries can take in terms of reaching out to consumers. Because dietary habits are formed at a young age, nutrition education aimed at children is vital. There are also some other policy interventions that can promote healthy eating. For example, Scandinavian countries have reduced coronary disease by providing subsidies for purchase of healthy foods like fish. And during the 1990s, Singapore was able to reduce childhood obesity through a combination of changes in meals and fitness programs offered to school children. These countries are starting down a similar path to that experienced by developed countries, so they may have to consider some of the same measures taken by those countries to combat the trend.
Stacy, this has been very interesting. Thanks for spending some time with us to share your findings. I've been speaking with Stacy Rosen, a co-author of the Amberwaves article, Obesity in the Midst of Unyielding Food Insecurity in Developing Countries. You can reach Stacy at 202-694-5164 or at slrosen@ers.usda.gov. You can access the latest issue of Amberwaves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. You will also find articles on balancing the benefits of trade with the risks of pests and diseases, how nutrition labels are being used among young adults, and the continued growth in the adoption of genetically engineered crops. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.